All right, I believe we've got Brian back. Brian, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you. Great to have you with us. Brian DiGiorgio, founder and CEO of 1840 and Company. So I was mentioning about this asset-light business model. Give us a little bit of a definition as to exactly what it is.
Yeah, an asset-light business model is one that, you know, just like it says, it has little assets. Think of Airbnb versus WeWork. Airbnb is leveraging capacity of existing facilities, properties, et cetera, whereas WeWork is buying them. So that's
right.
Really,
and so with Airbnb, the properties are not necessarily things that they own. They are something outside of their, realistically, 100% of their control.
Correct. So they have, but they have greater flexibility. They're providing or needing less capital to grow their business and scale. They can scale easier and faster, and they create operational efficiency.
What is it about the economy right now that makes asset light an option that companies need to consider?
Well, in particular, venture capital has kind of started to dry up. So companies need to figure out ways for a longer runway. Also, the workforce, you know, we're effectively at full employment. So companies need to look at globalization and look at outside of their local community to be able to staff and scale businesses. So they look at globalization or outsourcing to support those needs.
Right, because how much outsourcing is kind of going on right now? I know it's kind of comes and goes in waves, it feels like, from time to time.
Yeah, it's actually had to increase over the past several years since the pandemic. With the U.S. being nearly at full employment, really the resources just haven't been local. And also with companies not having facilities, they've decided that since I don't have to look at the person, I guess I don't care where they necessarily work, so they look globally to fill certain spots.
You also noted that asset light also coming into play maybe more so because of some of the capital requirements that companies are having to deal with.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, by leveraging an asset-light business model, you don't have the capital-intensive requirements up front. You don't have to put in the complete infrastructure, facilities, technology. You can leverage other people's assets to be able to get to the same spot. And so you're not
is
having
the
to go back to... Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Finish up. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just saying, you don't have to keep going back to venture capital to raise additional money. You can extend your runway.
Is the mindset that asset light is something that is going to be around for a while, or is there an element of this that it is working primarily because of the time and the style of economy that we're in at the moment?
I think it's going to be around forever. Before the pandemic, you know, I think it would have been a slow roll, but the pandemic just was a forcing function. It had people shutting down their facilities. It had people looking for resources globally and really set the need that I do not need to have people, you know, in the office, that I can have people remote. If I can have people remote, I may not care where they actually are.
So does the element of AI factor in here maybe a little bit now, but even more so as we go along, as to one of the reasons why asset light may be something that works well?
Absolutely. I think AI allows for, you know, more tactical roles to either, I won't say necessarily be automated, but people be able to do those more efficiently and effectively. You know, by way of an example, a blog post. A person writing a blog post traditionally going through the process, you know, could take a couple days. Now, by leveraging AI and ChatGPT and others, you can create a blog post within a day.
So the expectation is that asset light also means a positive impact to the bottom line. Is that the case?
Absolutely. To the bottom line, to your cash flows, to your adaptability, to your ability to shift when the market changes, it completely changes the dynamics of how you can manage your business.
We are joined on the line right now by Brian DiGiorgio, who's founder and CEO of 1840 and Company. So if this is a longer-term change and impact, what ends up being the longer-term impact, you think, for a lot of companies outside of just the bottom-line benefits that they will get?
I think for companies, I think it'll really enable them to test quickly and identify if they're successful or if they fail. And I think that will create positive change because companies no longer need to invest the amounts of money as they used to be able to test new ideas.
Is this asset light mindset primarily around the level of employment that you have in the company, or are there other aspects of the asset kind of mix that a firm has that they should really consider as well?
Well, this transition has been underway for, 20 years. Think of cloud computing. People went from having and buying servers to, just buying capacity. So it's been in transition over time. I think when it comes to facilities, when it comes to the workforce, I think that was a large catalyst during the pandemic. Frankly, as we were looking to make a bigger move from traditional outsourcing into this resource augmentation and being able to build remote teams for companies, the idea was not as positively received from the entrepreneurial community as I would have hoped prior to the pandemic. And then after the pandemic, I found a huge move from CEOs, from founders, to leverage this model.
Yeah, because you would think small businesses, startups, et cetera, they would probably in many cases want to have an asset-light philosophy right from the get-go, correct?
Well, that's just it. People that I spoke with didn't before the pandemic. Before the pandemic, they felt that they had to look across the table at someone. They had to see every step, every move that they were making. After people transitioned to the pandemic and saw that they can manage a remote workforce, then everything changed. I don't need facilities. I don't need to watch the people's every move. If I don't need to do that, I guess I can look for resources globally if I can't find them locally. And so that created more of the focus of moving younger companies to a complete remote and asset-light business model.
Are there specific businesses or business sectors that seemingly this works better than others?
I think certain that have a higher level of compliancy or regulation, this may not work as well for. But right. For most other companies, and I say that, but there's always aspects of the business that can. So I think it's potentially more of a question of degrees versus whether or not a company actually leverages an asset-like business model.
What are the, and I guess for a lot of companies, when they're thinking about that component of outsourcing, they really have to almost look at their line items and think about what areas they can, that they can move to outsourcing and obviously make asset-like, correct?
Correct. I mean, it's really about a company focusing internally on their core business and then leveraging the resources and capabilities of outsourcers for their non-core business or non-core aspects of their business. And that creates leverage, it creates scale, and it creates efficient investment because you're not investing in all this other infrastructure for something that's not necessarily core to your business.
How much are you starting to see this really take hold with a lot of businesses right now?
So, just broadly with our business, as I said, we started as a traditional outsource model, which meant that we managed everything from the tactical resources, then we bring in management, training, et cetera. Then we added a resource augmentation model that allows teams to be grown by companies and managed directly by them. They just happen to be remote. That aspect of our business was zero before the pandemic and is now 50% of our business. So we've seen huge growth.
Yeah, and the bottom line benefit for your company has been a solid one, and it sounds like you don't have plans to shift that away from that anytime in the near future.
No, actually, what we ended up doing through the pandemic, we removed all of our facilities. We completely embraced the model. And then as we began to rescale, I was just amazed as to how capital efficient the model was in enabling us to rescale.
Brian, great to meet you. Thanks very much for joining us today. All the best.
Appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
You got it. Brian DiGiorgio, founder and CEO of 1840 Income.